In today's Mishnah, it's one of the sixth and final Mishnah from the 10th Perek of Masechta Sanhedrin, and then we'll begin at the 11th Perek. The Mishnah begins, Shneamar, or the different girsas where you say the Shneamar. The Mishnah continues, Vet kol shalat tikbots el toch rochova v'gomer. Once a city has been defined as in Yudachat, all the rechush, all the property of the city, is gathered together to the rechova, and we'll learn soon in a moment that it's burnt. So the Mishnah explains that im ein la rechova, if they don't have a rechova, rechova refers to an expanse area that everyone would gather, then we say that if the city simply doesn't have one, then osin la rechova, you simply make one. Haya rechova chutzla, if they had a gathering point that was outside the city, then kotzin otala, then what they'd do, they'd extend the walls or create walls in order to encompass that rechova so that it would now be defined as part of the city. Sivasarafta be'esh ta'ir vet kol shala kalil lashem lokecha. It says you've got to burn ba'esh in fire et kol all the shalal, all the spoils of the city completely, lashem lekecha. What's this mean? Shlala means velo shalal shamayim. The shlala means its shalal, its spoils, things that belong to the city, but not those that are defined as shalal shamayim, the spoils of shamayim, meaning mikan amru hekdesh shabo yipadu. When it comes to something that's consecrated the Beis HaMikdash for the Bedek HaBayit, I mean for the treasury, that would have to be redeemed first before it can be burnt, because that wouldn't be considered shlala. However, when it comes to kodshei mizbeach, just to add, ikati sa'atzia, that meaning something that's a korban, it wouldn't be burnt. However, it would simply be left to die, because you couldn't offer it as a korban. So to explain, it can't be part of the city because it's not shlala. But you can't now bring it as a korban because zevach rasha'im toiva, because a korban that belonged to rasha'im is considered despicable in the eyes of Hashem. So therefore, it has to be simply left to die. Utrumot, when it comes to trumot, meaning that's the first part of the harvest, or Trumat Gdolo, or Trumat Maaser, as we've learned about quite a lot previously, that's given to the Kohen. If it's given to the Kohen already, we say that that's simply Yirkavu, that is simply left to rot. Because it has Kedusha, we don't degrade it by simply burning it, however, it has to be left on the side to rot. However, we're talking about Truma that was still in the hands of the Israel, that hasn't yet been given to a Kohen, that could be given to a Kohen of a different city, because that's still defined, it's called Shalal Shamahim, and therefore not the shalal, the spoils of the city. Ma'aser sheni b'kitvei kodesh, if we're talking about ma'aser sheni, the second half is meant to be taken to Yerushalayim, all the money which was used to redeem that ma'aser sheni, b'kitvei kodesh, so for example, Sefer Torah, we say yiganzu. It cannot be burnt because it has kedusha, however, it's simply put aside and put in gniza. The Mishnah continues, kali l'Hashem lokecha, what does it mean completely for Hashem? That means, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, im atem osim din ba'ir nidachat. If you do this law, if you define a city as an ir dachat and you destroy it, follow my laws completely, then ma'ale ani aleichem. I'll consider it ki'ilu atem ma'alim ola kalil lefanai. So I'll consider as if you offered a korban ola, a completely burnt offering, that's kalil, completely consumed, before me. So in other words, despite the fact it might seem like quite a devastating thing, no, if this city is considered ir dachat and you follow what Hashem is instructing you to, it's as if you've offered a korban. It will be like a mound forever, and it should not be built again. What's that mean? It's a debate here. You cannot use that area at all, ever again. They're not even to make orchards or gardens. That's depending on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva says, no, lo tibane or means when it says it cannot be built again, that's like it was. It can't be constructed. Aval, you can use it for that area for other purposes. Aval Nasi, you can use it for ganot or paradesim. You can use it for gardens or orchards. You know, you should not attach yourself anything from this, the cherem that has been destroyed here. She calls man shaharishayim ba'olam, the whole time that rishayim in this world, charon af ba'olam. There's fury of HaKadosh Baruch, if you like, is in this world. Avdu rishayim ba'olam, once the rishayim have been destroyed from the world, mistalek charon af min ha'olam, the anger of Hashem has been removed from the world. How do we know this? Because the pasuk I just cited, which seemed to be not really related to what the mission has explained, it actually finishes by saying, "Lama'an in order, Yashuv Hashem mecharonapo," that Hashem should be returned from his charonapo, from his anger. Let's now begin the 11th parak, 11th and final parak. It says, "Elohana nechenakim." The following individuals are the ones that receive the final of the types of the capital punishment of which we've been learning about, and that is chenek, strangulation. So the first is Hamakeh Avivimo, someone who strikes his father and mother. And much like we did with the previous prakim when we learned about the various forms of capital punishment, the Mishnah will give a list. And then as we learn Mishnahs in the coming days, we'll go through each of the items in this list or each of the violations and explain in more detail. So the first is someone who strikes his father and mother, Hamakeh Avivimo. Next is Vagonev Nefesh Misrael, someone who kidnaps. Again, exactly what that means, we'll learn about it. Vasekhen Mamre Alpi Beitin, someone who will learn about the laws of Vasekhen Mamre, that's someone who paskins, who understands a law in a particular way that's at odds with the Sanhedrin and sticks to that law and teaches other people. We'll learn about that in more detail. He would also receive the punishment of Chenek, a Navi Sheker, a false Navi, a false prophet, or Metnabe B'Shem Avodazara, someone who prophesies in the name of some sort of idol, the Habal Eshet Ish, someone who has a relationship with a married woman, basing an affair, the Zomame Bat Kohen, these are false witnesses who testified about a Bat Kohen who hadn't had an affair. Now that Bat Kohen would normally receive the punishment of Strafer that we learnt. However, the Zomimim, despite the fact the Zomimim, the false witnesses, that found to be false, would normally receive a reciprocal punishment, the punishment they tried to administer to this woman. In this case, as we'll learn about, they actually receive the punishment of Chenek instead. We'll have to understand that. So let's go through the list now. Mishnah says, Hamakeh aviv imo eino chayev, someone who hits his father or mother, is not chayev mita ad sheyaseh bahem chabura, until he actually inflicts a wound on them. Ze chomer b'makalel, we find that the more extreme, someone who curses their father or mother, again a prohibition we learned before, than one who simply strikes their parents. Why shamakalel lachar mita chayav, someone who curses their parents after their parents have passed away, one of their parents, he would still be chayav. However, hamakeh, someone who strikes a parent, lachar mita, after the parent has passed away, he would be patur, he would be exempt, because we said he has to actually create a chabura, has to create a wound. Next, this is number two on the list, we said hagonev nefesh misrael, someone who kidnaps someone, einu chayav, is not chayav, ad shi lechnisenu l'rishuto, until he takes him into his rishut, this is prior to him selling him. Because the pasuk says v'nimtza biyado, he has to be under his reshut. Rabbi Huda says ad shikach niseinu l'reshuto, until he brings his into his reshut v'yishtamesh bo, and uses him as like an eved shenemar v'yitamer bo umcharo. That means he deals with him like a slave and then sells him. So we learn here the concept of kidnapping is not just kidnapping an individual, it's kidnapping then selling this individual. But the debate we find in this Mishnah is, going to the first opinion, he has to first bring him into the reshut, into his own domain, that is prior to selling, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says he first has to bring him into his domain, treat him as a slave, and then sell him on in order to be able to be punished by Chenek. Let's continue. Hagonev et bono, what if someone steals his, if you like, steals his son? So the question is, Rabbi Yishmael Benoshel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Bruka says, Mechayev, he would still be Chayev. The meaning, the fact that the father kidnapped his son, according to one opinion, who said treat him as a slave and then sold him on, that would be punishable by Chenek. However, Chachamim say Potrim, they say he would be Patro. It doesn't apply to him. Why? Because the pasuk says, V'nimtza biado. After he takes the individual, then he's found under his biado, and if you like, under his reshut, under his control. That would therefore exclude someone that from the outset is considered within his control. So one's child is already within his domain, so therefore the concept of kidnapping, the way the Torah defines such an individual would be punishable as chenek, would not apply to a father. So it's kinyu, ganav mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chonu. What if someone steals someone who's a half eved, half individual? So if you remember, that such a case is if we're dealing with a servant who was owned by two individuals. They had a partnership in it. One of the individuals freed this Eved, but only his share. So therefore, this Eved is half free, but still half an Eved. So what if someone stole that individual? So they kidnapped him and sold him on. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Mechayev, he would be Chayav. However, Chachamim Potrim. Chachamim says he's exempt. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Ki metze ish gonev nefesh me'echav mi b'nei Yisrael. So you find someone who stole a nefesh from his echav, from his brethren, mi b'nei Yisrael. What's mi b'nei Yisrael? From amongst b'nei Yisrael, that comes to exclude, if you like, the Eved Knanim, and also someone who is a chetzi Eved and chetzi bin Chorim. So it's mi b'nei Yisrael, not all of b'nei Yisrael, and that would exclude this chetzi Eved, chetzi bin Chorim. Those are Mishnah today.